Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Come on, let's get the music going, guys. Pump them up, pump them up. Get the people going. Bring them into the tent. You know, in a few minutes, I'll get into the whole fantasy of the killing of OBL, the latest circus created by the Obama administration. But I want to take you back approximately one day. Last night, yesterday, when I got off the air, I was in San Francisco, as I told you. The weather was just unbelievable. It was a Fellini night, I call it. A Fellini night in the sense that it was too hot for me. But the too hot days in San Francisco become perfect nights. No wind, stars in the sky. It's a kind of night you want to sit outdoors and eat. You can't do it most of the time because it's too windy and foggy. So I ambled up to the North Beach restaurant where my friend Lorenzo Petroni is the proprietor, and you know I've gone in and out of there for years. I got to tell you about a night, because it is a political night in some way, but some way it isn't. And you know, they say living well is the best revenge. I got to rank last night as one of the best nights of my life. I know you say, what? Just had a meal? That's all it was? That was one of the best nights of your life? That's the whole point. And I'm going to show you what it was in a minute. So as I say, I go into the restaurant, it's still light out. I get into an argument with Lorenzo immediately because we're like family. We're always arguing over something. Either he's telling me to eat something I don't want to eat, or he's putting salt in my food when I don't want salt, or he's trying to push his soup on me when I don't want the soup. So last night it was over something else. I don't exactly know what it was. And then he says to me, Michael, you want to eat dinner with us? I said, no, I really just want to be alone. I'm exhausted. The show drained me. I'm tired. He said, no, I want you to meet some people. I said, leave me alone. I don't want to meet any people. He said, no, you got to meet these people. Okay, I'll meet the people. He said, no, he says... Up in Bodega Bay, the restaurant, the hotel, the inn at the Tides. It was the inn in the movie. Remember the movie The Birds? Hitchcock, The Birds up there. I was interested because it's a beautiful town. I haven't been up there in years. He introduces me to Carlo Galazzo, general manager. Carlo and I hit it off right away. And we start to, you know, have some drinks. I don't know how it immediately wound up to burial and death. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I thought this was a good night. Yeah, it was a good night. But let me explain to you why I'm telling you the story. I'm telling you the story, A, because I want to tell you the story. B, because it was a beautiful night. And C, because at the end of the day, eventually Obama will leave us. The plague of the Obama administration will be gone. And most of us will be able to take a deep breath and try to get a few nights in like I had last night. And I'm not going to let him interfere with my ability to have a good drink and a good laugh. So we start to talk. And he had just come back from Italy with Lorenzo, where they went on a wine tour, and they went and visited some of the deceased in a cemetery outside of Lucca, strangely enough. And I was quite surprised to find that that's where some of the folks had been interred. Anyway, turns back to the dinner. So we get to the table, maybe 8-10 of us. Tables are set up outside. It's long outside now, and he kept bringing more people in. I didn't know who was going to be there. At this point, as Jackie Gleason said, I was feeling no pain. I just drank tons of his Sauvignon Blanc, which he makes out of his own grapes from his estate up in Sonoma. I'm drinking the Sauvignon Blanc, and we're eating the prosciutto, and the sand dabs come, then the broccolini. Then a guy is in the crowd. I don't know if I should mention his name, but he's got a dog named Duke. I'll just call him Matt. Matt's his first name. Now, Matt loves me and loves my show. I never met him. Lorenzo is a big man. Lorenzo is built like an oak tree. Let's put it to you that way. Don't try to arm wrestle Lorenzo. He may be 70-some-odd, but it'll break your hand. Matt makes Lorenzo look like a stick figure. I never. So these guys are terrific. So Matt loves me. I love you. He says, I'm another right winger. He says, if it wasn't for you, I'd go crazy. He said, you are my God. Savage, I love your show. Without you, I'd go out of my mind. Where's your dog, Teddy? I've been wanting to meet you all my life. Where's Teddy? I want to see Teddy. I said, I don't have Teddy with me. I want you to meet my dog, Duke. And he goes to the car. He opens the car, and Duke comes out. I don't know what kind of dog he was. He was like a cute dog with some terrier with short legs, but very stocky, much, much, much tougher than Teddy. And he says, I said, what do you feed him? He said, well, I feed him only dog food. I don't give him any human food. I said, well, you brought him to the wrong guy, because if you put him next to me at the table, he's going to get some of the bread and olive oil. He said, no, please don't feed him. Anyway, to make a long story short, Duke had some terrific Italian food last night, but I don't think Matt knows it. So we're eating, and the food is coming, and after 4 or 5 glasses of wine, I'm looking already up at the above to the stars, and my eyes stop on the overhead electric wires for the electric buses in San Francisco. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there are some older cities in America that still have overhead electric wires that they used to use for trolley cars. In San Francisco, they use them for the electric buses. And at a certain point in the night, I felt as though I was sitting right on the edge of the sidewalk in Fellini's Roma, where the trolley car comes within 6 inches of the person sitting on the outermost seat at the table, even though the table didn't go that far out. And I'm looking up at the stars, and I'm talking with these people, we're eating the food, we're drinking the wine, and I'll tell you the truth, it was one of those perfect moments. Now, needless to say, we didn't get into politics, but I do know this, there wasn't a liberal at the table. So let's play a little more Fellini music, and then we'll get into the Obama story here on The Savage Nation. You ever have sand dabs? Sand dabs, it's a San Francisco thing, that fish. Oh, my God. But they were all talking in Italian. They think I don't understand Italian, but I know a bit of it after living here for so many years. I've heard enough Italian to understand the things they're saying. So when I said, when he gave me the sand dabs without any sauce, I said, could you bring me some marinara sauce to put on it? He said to his son something fast in Italian, like, what, is he out of his mind? Putting a marinara sauce on a sand dab? It was like listening to a whole thing in translation. You could see I'm trying to avoid talking about the news. Anything, please. Anything but Bin Laden and Obama. Must I talk about Obama? Must I talk about Al-Qaeda? First there was a firefight. Then there was no firefight. Then Bin Laden was resisting and he had a weapon. Then he had no weapons whatsoever. Then he used his wife as a shield. Then his wife was not used as a shield. His wife was killed and she wasn't killed. Then there was another woman. This was reviewed by Bookworm.com. Then there was a maid used as a shield, and the other woman was killed. Then she wasn't killed unless she was taken away to a secret location in Brooklyn. Then Bin Laden's son was killed unless it was some other guy like an ice cream salesman with a green water gun. Then Bin Laden's daughter saw him get killed, and now she's in recovery somewhere at a convent somewhere in the middle of Europe. They were going to capture Bin Laden alive until a helicopter crashed because it had mechanical trouble or because it got too much heat in the rotor or God knows what. They were never going to try to capture him alive. They were always going to kill him. No, it wasn't a kill mission. They had to kill him because they thought he went for his gun. The chopper blew up. The SEALs blew it up. Panetta said the world needed proof and the photo would be released. Obama goes on 60 Minutes this Sunday, and he says he will not release it because he's worried about Muslim sensibilities. The very same folks who gave us 9/11 were supposed to worry about their sensibilities. Then we're told they got a treasure trove of information from the house he was in. First it was a mansion, then it was a blockhouse. Then there was a treasure trove, and then there was no treasure trove, that there was no internet and no phone lines. Then they show a satellite dish in the picture, and people are saying they must have used it as a salad dish. It goes on and on. Whatever happened, we know the military was great, but the administration has turned it into Scungili. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. What do you want to talk about? Let's go to Robert in Salt Lake City, the first up. Go ahead, Robert.
Nights like you were talking about last night are perfect nights, and I have a name for those nights. I call them summer nights. They are nice when you are with your friends, people you enjoy being with, good food, the weather is wonderful, and it could be December, but I call them summer nights.
Yes, but to have it in the middle of a city is the most exquisite part of it. In other words, I'm sure many people enjoy that kind of evening across America, and I, wouldn't take that away from them. But the special element for me is to have this in the heart of the Italian district of San Francisco, the North Beach area. The architecture is, you know, maybe 1910, 1920-ish kind of thing, low buildings. And just the feeling of the streets is so incredibly a big part of it. But thank you for understanding why I was talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Houston, Texas. Michael, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I wanted to just say that I believe that the way that they're handling the OBL situation fits in perfectly with their motif. Create uncertainty. Everything they do. Well, want Gaddafi gone, but we're not going to move against him.
Right. Well, that's why I decided to have prosciutto and sand dabs and a lot of wine last night, because at least I could know what reality was. In other words, if I ate into the prosciutto, which he makes there down in his prosciutto room, either it's good prosciutto or it's bad prosciutto. So this was excellent prosciutto. I didn't need anyone to tell me whether it was any good. You follow me? When the sand dabs came out, I knew it was caught that day. It wasn't caught 18 years ago. See what I mean? I didn't need Obama to tell me whether the fish was good or bad.
I mean, this is their motif with everything.
All right. Please, I'm trying to get a little too autistic and esoteric. I could see it's going over like the proverbial Led Zeppelin. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So we're resetting the show. We're starting from the beginning again. I'm going back to what I started with again. I'm going to tell you about the dinner last night, the weather, the people, the food, the wine, the overhead electric wires for the electric buses, the dog Duke, the prosciutto, the sand dabs, the broccolini, the Brunello, the Sauvignon Blanc, and the in at the tides and the birds. So there it is. No, it was older guys with some younger guys, because his son was there, Marco, with people his age, which is always nice, the younger and the older guys, the mixture together. But the Teddy wasn't there. It was a real loss. I actually walked Duke up the street for Matt. I don't know why. I just felt like walking a dog, so I took Duke for a walk up to the corner, and there was a homeless guy who was, like, begging on the corner, you know, with something, playing an instrument. I don't know what he was doing. To show you how good I felt, I even gave him a dollar. Cymbal shot. No, even I mean, I generally don't give homeless people money. It's not that I'm cheap. I do give money, but I don't want to encourage it. But I don't know. I was like, the guy, he wasn't bothering me. He was so happy I gave him a dollar. He's like one of the nice homeless bums, not the aggressive type. They leave him alone. Everyone leaves the guy alone because he's a nice homeless guy. And he probably makes a few bucks here and there, you know, to supplement the city money. But when Carlo told me about his restaurant up there, he actually brought down, he has a seafood, wholesale seafood operation up there. He brought down what's known as, there's a certain specialty of that coast, since he's also got fishermen working for him. Does anyone know what I'm talking about from that area, Bodega Bay? Who's listening to the show right now? People in New York never heard of this food. It's a kind of food. It's not scungili. This is different. Scungili is a snail. That's a New York thing. People in New Jersey, New York, let's say from your father's age, know about scungili. I had it once in the Beverly Hills in a restaurant up in the hills there, because they're from New Jersey originally. The grandfather started it. You'd never believe that place. In the middle of nowhere, in a mountaintop off Mulholland Drive, there's like a great Italian restaurant where they have scungili. And so anyway, but this place is not scungili. I'm trying to remember it. Honestly, God, I'm groping. Anyone who gets the name of that fish from, they die for it up there. Abalone. Right, they had abalone, but we didn't get it last night because there wasn't enough of it for everybody, so they didn't even cut it up. That's a real delicacy. I could do without it. I'll tell you, the sand dabs are great. And why am I talking about food? I'm telling you why I'm talking about food. Because it was beautiful. Don't you understand what I guess I'm trying to say something else to you. If you pay too much attention to Obama and the charlatans surrounding him and the lies coming out of the administration, you think the guys at this table didn't know what we could have spent the whole night screaming and yelling till our faces were red about this lying bum in the White House and the thieves and criminals around him? We didn't. We all know who he is. We're just sitting here biding our time till he's thrown out of office in 2012. And so, in other words, living well is the best revenge. Now, all of these guys are like new guys to me. I didn't know any of them. But the camaraderie with new people, I mean, except for Lorenzo, I didn't know any of these guys. It was incredible. But most of them were listeners, and they loved me. You know, there was tremendous love. I never go out and look for listeners. I mean, you know that I could do groups, thousands, and I don't do it. I'm very, very withdrawn, and I'm very elusive, and I'm also very hidden and secretive, truthfully. And I did this because I was around friends and I felt totally at home. And it's that simple. Dave Sacramento, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, good to talk to you. You got me laughing within about a minute of your start today. That was great. I think you had what was called, if we're lucky, once every 10 years, a moment of rapture.
Well, I would call it a moment of a drunkenness, but okay, you can look at it either way.
I remember the last time I had one. I think I was in Paris about 10 years ago, just walking down.
Oh, you mean where everything clicked and everything was perfect?
Yeah, exactly. It's like God tickles your brain with all the
food. Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, well, for me, it was a mixture of things, but it was not only the people and the food and the place. Truthfully, I don't drink wine much these days because I get sick from it. But I said, you know what? I'm going to drink wine. And I drank a lot of wine, and truthfully, it was worth it. It was worth how bad I felt today. Thanks for the call. You want me to do politics, or you want me to continue to talk about the Fellini moment I had? Let's go to Florida. Michael, you're up. Your choice. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage.
Yes.
I like that. I'm the same way. I don't want to hear about all this business and all this politics. I know more than I want to know. What I want to know is, what is the stuff you ate for dinner? What is broccolini, and what is that? You were doing good. You were explaining.
Okay, so I started with prosciutto. You know what prosciutto is?
No, I don't.
Prosciutto is ham, basically, but he cures it himself down in the basement, in the prosciutto room. But you don't want to go down there unless you're invited. Let's put it to you that way. There's too many meat hooks hanging on the ceiling. So, I've joked about it with him 100 times. I said, I'm not in the mood to have a look at your prosciutto curing on the hooks tonight. it's sliced very, very thin sliced ham. Then I had sand dabs. That's fish. Broccolini is like a mixture of broccoli and eni. It's broccoli meets eni. It's broccoli mated with eni. Denver Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I really love your esoteric stuff. It's really intellectually stimulating. Because I'll tell you the truth, this politics is making my brain melt. And I really...
That's right. I tell you, I needed a night off after yesterday's lies from the White House. I decided to go up and just have a lot of, you know, well, I didn't know I was going to eat outdoors. I thought I was just going to eat in quietly in a back table as I usually do and go home. But he said, you got to meet some friends. I said, please, I don't want to meet anybody. But the minute I met Carlo, I loved him. We got along so great. We started talking about burial.
Savage.
Happened on Sunday because of the courage of our military and the outstanding work of our intelligence. Sent a message around the world, but also sent a message here back home that when we say we will never forget, we mean what we say.
So we're giving you the yin-yang today, the yin-yang treatment. A touch of Obama with a dollop of Pacific sand dab. Oh, if you think I'm going to break my brains again tonight with Obama with Ground Zero and just get upset over it and his grandstanding, it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen, I'll tell you that. So what do you want to talk about? Let's see. I got many callers calling about abalone and whale watching. Let's go to New York City. You would think no one knows in New York what abalone is. You're wrong. Amy in New York is on the phone from WR. Amy, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Love your show. The minute you said Bodega Bay, it brought back really warm memories. My parents built a house right there on Highway 1 across from a beach called Portuguese Beach with a nice white water view, and we had a telescope out on the balcony. You can watch the whales. The birds are all over the place, just like in the movie. They're all over.
So you were a little kid. You grew up there?
Well, in high school, my parents built a house out there, and I thought, oh, this is great. We would go out.
But where'd you go to high school? In San Francisco?
Terrawinda High, no, San Rafael.
Oh, you're a Marin County girl.
I am Marin County born and raised.
And so what are you doing? You're stuck in New York now?
I'm actually in upstate New York, right in the Albany area.
I think Albany is in New York State somewhere. I believe it is somewhere north of New York City. I think it's somewhere north of New York City. I think there is something north of New York City called Albany. I agree with you. So were you there when Hitchcock filmed The Birds?
No, that was filmed much earlier. But in town, Bodega Bay is a little bit different than right on the coast. So it's where the Tides, the restaurant is. So that's a great restaurant.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely, Carlo has a great place up there. Thanks for the call. I'm glad I could bring back some nice memories. You see, women are calling. The men don't want to hear any of this. The men want to, all right, just stick to the business, Mike. Beat up on Obama. We don't hear nothing about this fancy food, all right? No more about that. Stick to the hard business of bashing Obama. That's what we pay for. Just bash Obama. Tell us Democrats bad, Republicans good. Okay, well, I could do that. Let's. If you want to laugh, we can give you Jay Carney, who's becoming the, you know, Carney Barker, Art Carney's illegitimate grandson. I mean, anything you want. This guy is the most incompetent spokesmouth in the history of the White House. Here is a man who made Ari Fleischer look articulate. So we could just pick 21. Let's pay clip, play 21.
The respect that was shown to him and his body was far greater than the respect that Osama bin Laden showed to the victims on 9/11 or any of his other victims. And that's because that's who we are. So we feel very comfortable with the fact that we took extraordinary measures to show that respect to the traditions of the Islamic faith.
All right, good. You did the PC thing, and you know what you're going to get for it? If I could speak in a foreign language, I'd tell you what you're going to get for it. But since it's a family show, I won't even tell you what you're going to get for it. Oh, they're all waiting in the Arab world. Oh, look at that. They gave him an Islamic burial. I'll tell you what, we're going to put away the fuses now. Oh, yeah, and then because of that, I think I'm going to put down the fuses and no. Yeah, cancel my order for C4 because they gave him an Islamic burial. Yeah. Hey, look, Ahmed, cancel that order. Okay, we don't need the cluster bomb. Yeah. Yeah, put no more IEDs because they. Yeah, they're really good guys. Let's just cancel that. New York City, WOR, Rachel, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Nice to speak with you. I was very happy that you reminded me of La Dolce Vita. And just before you mentioned that scene, as you were speaking, the scene came to my mind because I've lived in Rome, you know, for a couple of years.
Yeah, but remember that scene where they're eating outdoors on a hot summer night and there's a trolley car, an electric car goes by within inches of the guy sitting at the edge of the table?
Unbelievable.
Remember that? I mean, only Fellini could capture the meaning of that moment, the poetry of that moment, where the guy didn't even care. He was having, first of all, he had such faith in his surroundings that he didn't even fear the trolley car would hit him, number one. That's the whole, I'm trying to use the right word here. It's the existentialism of that particular scene, which is that the trolley car, although it could kill everybody, he had no fear it would turn over and kill him. Well, nobody at the table paid any attention to it. And it also added verve to the dining scene, where you're excited because you're part of this whole swirl of life in Rome at that time, post-World War II Rome. And that's what I felt in San Francisco. It's what keeps me here. It's another reason I'm doing this, is to show you. People say, well, why do you stay there if the people are so liberal? Because no city's all of one thing. Sure, it's 99%, 90% Nancy Pelosi's psycho-leftists. But there's a whole segment of the people who actually built the city and their descendants, people who actually provide things for the city. And I love that part of the city. You understand what I'm saying? No? Yes? Maybe? Now, to top it off, you're not going to believe this is a side story, but it's 100% true. Adjacent to us, a couple sits down, and I don't know how we got to talk to them. They turn out that they're two lawyers from Chicago, and they heard it's Michael Savage. They listened to me on WIND, and they wanted to meet me. I said, what do you do with lawyers? I said, what firm? They tell me the name of the firm. I said, are you kidding me? I said, one of the lawyers I use, is a chief partner. They almost, because the firm has 10,000 lawyers or 3,000 lawyers. That was an amazing situation. So I said, what are you going to do, charge the restaurant $1,600 an hour for the meal you're having? Like in reverse? DD, Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Mr. Savage, I know what broccolini is.
Isn't it a mixture of broccoli and eenie?
No, sir. Broccolini is a hybrid seed, which is a cross between broccoli and Chinese kale.
It's unbelievable. Everybody out in the Bay Area knows this. It's really fabulous stuff.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Now, you actually grow it on a ranch?
Yes, we do. It's a seed that was given to our family's company about 10-plus years ago. We started planting and growing it here in Salinas Valley, and now it's marketed and sold all over the nation.
So people have gotten to taste it, because broccoli by itself is a little rough to eat. It's a wonderful vegetable. I happen to like it when it's steamed very well, but it doesn't have the flavor of broccolini, truthfully.
Yes, my I agree. The broccoli has got a bit of a bitter taste. My children won't even eat broccoli anymore. They're 7 and 9 years old, and we steam broccolini all the time. They pick it up with their fingers and eat it.
Do you think George Bush would eat broccolini? Because he said he wouldn't eat broccoli, I remember he said years ago.
I think he would. It's much.
Why don't we send a free case to George Bush and see if we can get him to eat some broccolini?
I think that'd be great.
Thanks for calling the show. I remember George Bush said he doesn't like broccoli. Maybe he'd like broccolini. Who knows? He's definitely a roast beef and mashed potato kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that. I can guarantee you he knows what he's doing. What's good for him is good for him. Sacramento, George, you're on the Sav. I see already the people took a walk. They're listening to the guy who sounds like Groucho's grandmother having a hysterectomy who's bashing Obama. What's on your mind, George?
Hello, Professor. I just wanted to say I always have a moment of feeling. Sorry, sir. I'm so nervous right now.
No. Listen, calm down. Yeah. You're talking to a natural man, Michael Savage.
Sorry.
Don't be nervous. Honestly, God, make believe we're just having a phone conversation.
I just want to say I always have a good moment. I'm 31. I used to listen to you. I started listening to you in 1999 when you used to talk about ingredients, about nutrition. When your mother, rest in peace, used to call. We used to have a sound clip with the train at the end. Those were my moments, sir.
But you go back to when you were a kid. How many years ago is that?
Well, I'm 1999. I'm 31 now, sir. And you?
Me? So you started listening so many years ago. So, you know, it's funny you should bring up the nutrition background because I forgot to mention that. And I thank you very much for the call. It's very important I tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then we'll move on to bashing Obama, which I know is what you paid to come into the tent for. So one of the guys there who goes crazy said, Dr. Savage, he said, I believe everything you say. You're like God to me. He said, you saved me. I said, what do you mean? He said, I had such severe arthritis in my right knee that the top surgeon at one of the main university hospitals said I needed surgery and operation and knee replacement. And he said, I heard you say that you gave up dairy. And then you started talking about eating eggplant without the Parmesan on it, no cheese on it. He said, I gave up dairy. He said, I swear to God. He said, I never had another pain in my leg. He said, you're like a god. He said, everything you say is true, whether it be about food or politics. I worship what you know. That's what he went on and on. Now, I don't want you to think that those words are the gospel, but the fact is, that dairy is an amazing thing for some people. Don't get the impression that nobody should eat dairy. Please don't take that away as a message. That's not true. But there are people who are so lactose deficient that they do get inflammatory reactions in their joints. I'm one of them. And you have to understand that there are food allergies that will do this to you. I don't want to turn it into a nutrition show, although it is Thursday. And I believe in the past we used to do nutrition on Thursday, right? Okay, Robert in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Hi there. I have no idea what a sand dab is. What is a sand dab?
Okay, it's a medium-sized flatfish, maybe like on the order of a small flounder. It's just a flatfish. That's typical of the northern Pacific Ocean from the Sea of Japan to the coast of Northern California. And it's very, very popular as a game fish in California.
Yeah, that was referred to in a movie a long time ago, Tequila Sunrise. And I never figured out what it was. I appreciate it.
No problem. You can look it up. It's Cithyrrhichthys sordidus. I'm pretty good on Latin names, but I can't get the genus right. Cithyrrhichthys sordidus. That means it's a sorted fish, not swordfish. It's kind of sorted in that it hides down on the bottom and it eats. You know what it eats? Do you know what this thing eats? It eats other fish, squid, and octopuses, which is very interesting because many of you are vegetarians, which is okay. That's your business, even though you're deficient in so many critical nutrients as a result, and you're anemic, and you feel depressed, and you have anxiety, and you're mildly on the anorexic side, and you have visions, all because you're deficient in B12 and B6. But in all seriousness, the thing to know is that there are many ways to eat. The human being is very adaptable, but if you're missing certain nutrients, you're going to get nutritional deficiencies. That's all. So there it is. What else do you want to talk about on the Savage Nation? Anything is a fair game. Let's go to the next caller in Las Vegas. Barry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I grew up in Santa Rosa. My dad was a doctor in Sonoma State Hospital. So on the weekends, we'd either be over at Sonoma's at Sebastiani Winery, or we'd be over at Bodega Bay all of the kids would be out on the rocks getting the abalone and prying them off at low tide. We'd fill up a couple of carloads of the trunk full of abalone. We'd all head back to Santa Rosa. All the adults and especially the Italians would be in one room drinking wine and laughing. All of us kids would be in the kitchen banging on this abalone to make it soft so you could eat it up. But
isn't that something? So you have very fond memories of that I provoke with the story of last night, huh?
Oh, listen, being from the Bay Area, I went to Centerville Military Academy in its heyday, but you talk about going up to Napa and the wineries, half the people you knew and know up there went to school with my mom and dad when they were going to high school in Sonoma. But when you talk about the abalone that we used to get back then used to be a foot long, 10 inches wide. They were huge.
Wow.
Now you get in trouble for just getting an abalone that's 4 or 5 inches, and they've got such restriction. And every once in a while, I see where somebody up there in the Bay Area is going to jail because they're, digging or they're getting the
abalone. Can you imagine going to jail if they're taking out too much abalone in a world like this where you got violent drug gangs running the streets with impunity? They're arresting people for taking out too much abalone. It's astounding.
You mention abalone to anyone who's probably 40 years and younger, they look at you, they don't know what you're talking about.
No, they don't. No, hey, I'm going to tell you something funny. So as I enjoyed the night and it got better and better, and I looked up at the overhead electric wires and I tried to explain to the people the scene from Fellini's Roma. Nobody there knew who Fellini was. Would you believe it?
My dad had a night. I have it in the garage, but my dad bought a brand new 1950 MGTD from British Motors in San Francisco. The manager bought the first one. My dad bought the second one. We would always head down to the wharf, and he'd go in and get a bottle of wine. I'd get a root beer or something, but we'd get the French bread. We'd go out and sit on the table, look at the Golden Gate Bridge and the different ships and boats and things. So,
You still have that MG in your garage, the TD?
Yes. Yes, I do. 19.
Amazing. What a memory that is. You remember your dad buying that thing? That's astounding.
I not only remember him buying it, Mike, but it doesn't have any gas gauge. All it has is a red light and a green light. As long as that green light's on.
Oh, I love it. That's like how Obama runs the economy. He thinks it's still running on a green light, but it's a red light by now.
When the red light comes on, that meant that it only had 2 gallons of gas. So I was behind the seat, and there's a little spot behind the seat where you sit there. And I'd look over his shoulder, and as soon as that red light would come on, I'd panic. I'd say, Dad, are you sure we have enough gas to get home? Because we were always either at Bodega Bay or over there at Sebastiani's Winery because they knew them all. And I loved going through those big, huge 1,000-gallon wine vats.
Oh, the cavernous cellars on a hot day, how cool it was, like air-conditioned.
The smell was fantastic, just years and years.
Well, you talk about that. Lorenzo makes his own wine. I was there 15 years ago when he bought his estate in Sonoma. He cut and cleared all of the brush himself and had all of the vines planted. It was astounding. I was there when he was cutting down the brush. But so last night he was saying at the end of the meal they were all drinking grappa, which I don't drink. I don't particularly like it. It's too strong. So he started explaining how they make grappa from the must of the grape. You probably know about that, right?
Yes.
Amazing how strong grappa is.
You were mentioning the birds over there in Bodega Bay. I almost was used as one of the school kids when the birds was being filmed. But a little bit later, I was in a motion picture with Betty Davis called The Storm Center that was filmed in Santa Rosa. She was a librarian, and she wanted to have communist books in the library to expose people and let them read what communism was all about. And the city father said, no communist books in our library. So that's what the whole movie was all about.
Today the opposite is true. No patriotic books allowed in U.S. libraries. Only books about socialism. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Did you see the pictures?
Yes.
What was your reaction when you saw them?
It was him.
Why haven't you released them?
We discussed this internally. Keep in mind that we are absolutely certain this was him. We've done DNA sampling and testing. And so there is no doubt that we killed Osama bin Laden.
There's no business.
like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We are playing between reality and fantasy. I'm giving you reality, and you're listening to the president giving you fantasy. I mean, if you're 100% sure it was Bin Laden, why say it? Just by saying we're 100% sure it was him because we did DNA testing of a tissue sample means they're not so sure it was him. Could have been his, what if it was his body double? What if Bin Laden is just a common sand dab fisherman now somewhere in Yemen? I mean, you wouldn't know, or he's growing broccolini in the Sacramento Valley. What if he has a vineyard where he's growing Brunello grapes for Brunello? You don't know where he is. 1-800-449-8255. I want to remind you of something else. You know, I was talking about the dinner last night, so I met this guy, Carlo, who owns the Inn at the Tides. I really don't want to go out there, truthfully. I'm not looking to get anything out of this. But I remember when we were younger and the kids were like basically babies, and we went out to, you know, it's about an hour and a half from the Bay Area by car. It's 10 hours by boat. I'm probably going to go up by boat one of these days and you know, power over there and put it on his dock. That's probably what I'm going to do one night. But I couldn't stay in that place. I remember it was there. It was too expensive for us. We stayed down the street in, like, the seedy Alan Bates Motel. That's all we could afford, where the sheets were, like, moist and damp. You know those kind of places? There's always, like, the nice place, and there's the place you can afford. That's where I used to stay with the kids, where by 3 in the morning, we all got up and left and went home because it was... You know how many times I've done that in my life? I mean, look, when you're young and you're poor, you have no choice. Ask the children how many times I changed rooms and then left. But that's the thing, is that when you can finally afford things, you don't even want them anymore. It's the old story. It's the old story.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I can't do what I asked them to do. You want to do it, guys? What I want you to do is
make sure that very graphic photos of somebody who was shot in the head are not floating around as an incitement to additional violence, as a propaganda tool. You know, that's not who we are.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing.
So that's the showbiz angle coming out of the White House. Suddenly now he's worried about a propaganda tool with the photos. But this is the same president that saw no problem with releasing pictures of Abu Ghraib and things of that nature. Well, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's just politics as usual, which is why I was talking about something else in the first hour. Mainly food, dog, people, wine, broccolini, the overhead electric wires for the electric buses in North Beach, the weather, the night I had, and then we got into some nutrition. So if you want to talk about any of these topics, you give me a ringle at 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good afternoon. I believe Obama will win again. Everybody's against him. I believe he did kill who he said he was going to kill.
I don't want to ruin your fantasy. That's fine, because you're a true believer, and there's nothing Obama could do that you would find wrong. You don't need proof. You only need his word. You believe every word he says. I can't deter you from that belief system.
Obama will win again.
All right. I'm glad you feel that way. Where are you calling from, Saudi Arabia? Because it sounds like you're on a satellite phone from somewhere. It doesn't sound like you're calling from New York. New York, Shelley, W-O-R. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I think that if they really did do Bin Laden in, and if they indeed captured the computers, then I think within the next week or so, or three or four, we should be witnessing the demise of some of Bin Laden's big boys, don't you think?
Well, it's hard to know what they captured, because first they said that the man had no internet hookup and no TV. Then they said he did have an internet hookup and he did have TV. Do you remember that? First they said Bin Laden had no contacts with the outer world. Then they said he did have contact with the outer world. Then they said they got a treasure trove of stuff from hard drives. But before that, we were told there were no phone lines and no internet access at the, quote, mansion. They didn't even have TV. So how could they have gotten a treasure trove from hard drives?
Well, you know, this is what they said. I'm not really familiar with all the intricate workings.
I am quite familiar with all the intricate lies. In other words, if they say one thing one day and another thing the next day, what would you call that, facts?
No, that's definitely a lie, definitely.
So why are they lying to us? Why are they producing so much uncertainty?
That I don't know. I don't know.
Well, okay, that you don't know. That's what I'm paid for. I'm paid to tell you why, and that's why I say it's show business. That's all. It's as simple as that. Incidentally, since you want to talk about show business, chicken fat is rich in palmitoleic acid, which is an immune booster. And chicken fat's also rich in oleic acid, which lowers cholesterol, which is an interesting paradox. In that, many of you probably for the last number of years have been eating chicken, lean chicken breast, no fat. Remove the fat, throw the skin in the garbage. As a kid, remember when your mother would make chicken and you loved the skin or the turkey skin? Because children are smart. Well, it turns out that the fat from the turkey or the chicken contains some very important nutrients like palmitoleic acid, which is an immune enhancer, and oleic acid, which lowers cholesterol. But because of the obsession, the anti-fat hysteria in America, people are deficient in some of these essential fatty acids. Now, why am I jumping from Obama to what chicken fat contains? Because we know what chicken fat contains, while we don't know what Obama contains. We have no idea what Obama contains and where the truth lies, while if we talk about chicken fat, we pretty much can tell you what's inside chicken fat. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Or does this require too much thought? Play the Fellini music for a minute, because that really cheered me up. Really, and cheered me up today. And I'm not in the mood to be uncheered. We're getting the fanatics now. There we go. Teddy, you hear what you missed last night? Teddy, you missed Italian bread. You missed olive oil. You missed prosciutto. I would have given you under the table. You missed a little sand dab. You missed food that you can't believe, Teddy, if you were only there. Duke got it all last night at the North Beach restaurant. It's why I stay in the city. It's the small number of incredible people that make the city and have built the city and keep the city going. It's not the freakolas who came here from Duluth with the green hair who blocked traffic on Friday night with bicycles. They're what you call the viruses, the human viruses who came to town. And like the plague they are, it's almost impossible. The plague has to burn itself out and then we'll have the city back again. Sacramento John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, a long-time listener. I think you bring back a lot of memories. I grew up in San Leandro fishing in San Francisco on my father-in-law's fishing boat. Nothing like salmon season in San Francisco.
So what kind of fishing boat? Was he a commercial fisher?
Commercial tie-in fisherman. We had a Monterey double ender. Fantastic life he had fishing on that
boat. He had one of those old Monterey crabbers, those little narrow Monterey crab boats?
Yeah. They're
classic. Do you know that Joe DiMaggio's father was a humble fisherman? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story, which is a little political. As you know, in World War II, some Japanese were interned. That you know, because we heard that 1,000 times, and the crying and the screaming. And remember the payback for that? Remember we had to pay everybody who got interned? Remember that?
Okay.
You know, do you know that Italians and Germans, some were also interned? Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Did you know that Joe DiMaggio's father's fishing boat was seized by the U.S. government for fear that he, as an Italian-American, would act on behalf of the Italian government as an enemy of America? People don't know this. See, I know these things. The only difference between the Italian people is they took it and they just kept it and they shut up and they went on with their lives. They actually understood why the country did it. You can't say that for everybody, you understand?
No, that's why I listen to your show. I learn a lot of things I never knew before, but I do know your secret. You've never named it. When you stay home and cook like I do, you said you use a store-bought tomato sauce. Sometimes you add a little of this and a little out of that, and it's fantastic, and I know the brand.
Wait, wait, okay, hold it. Let's go through this. Let's play 20 questions without giving them a free plug. What's the first letter?
C.
C, I don't even know. I don't even remember what it is, I swear to God. Well, what's the one you're talking about?
Classico. And I make my own.
Marinara basil sauce was excellent. Then they bought it and put sugar in it. Big corporations usually ruin things when they buy it. They go to the maximum generic taste profile of the average American. So I will not eat any sauce with sugar in it. I don't like the taste of sugar. It's not that I'm so paranoid about it, although I don't like sugar in my body. I just don't like the taste of anything sweet. I tend toward the bitter. Thank you for the call. No, let's not talk about sauces. They should advertise in the show, but they're probably too cheap to do so. New York, WOR. Maddie, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to know, like, Obama's talking about not releasing the pictures because it's going to provoke some anger around the world. But these are the same people who killed contractors in Fallujah, burnt their bodies, dragged them through the street, and hung them from bridges as they celebrated around the corpses.
How about when they cut off Daniel Pearl's head with a rusty saw and chanted to Allah after making him say, I am a Jew, my mother was a Jew, my father was a Jew? How about those wonderful good people? Are we supposed to be concerned about their sensibilities?
I was just about to get to that. Daniel Pearl, Nick Berg, Kenneth Bigley, so many different people have been beheaded and broadcasted all over the internet, and Obama is so sensitive about this. And another thing, why, with him being so shady, why doesn't he at least call, like, journalists from major news corporations around the world, like the CNN, the BBC, France 24, Al Jazeera, Telemundo, invite all these people to the White House? Show them the picture and allow them to independently report.
Well, they cheated. They showed three Republicans a fake picture. They were snookered. You saw that came out today?
Yeah,
that the White House came up with a fake picture? That didn't make it to the local left-wing newspapers around America, that Obama faked the photo to the three Republican senators.
Yeah, I remember reading about that online, though.
Unbelievable. I mean, the man is pure show business. That's why I'm having a good time today. I'm not going to take him seriously anymore. Why should I? I don't believe a word he says. Everything he said was the next day something else. Hey, look, what do conflicting stories mean? It means they're lying about something, doesn't it?
I agree.
But when a guy gives you one story one day, the next story another day, it's called a lie, isn't it? In common, if you were in a court of law and you said one thing one day, another thing the other day, you know what happened to you? You'd be put in jail for perjury. That's all. Pittsburgh, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. How do you see it?
Yes. I'm calling because when you get two conflicting stories, anyone that's been a police officer deals with people on that, you get like, it means someone's lying. So the administration is either grossly incompetent or they're not being honest. That's what it comes down to. There's one or two things.
Good. All right. I see it the same way. Again, that's why I talk about chicken fat. I know what's in chicken fat, but I don't know what's inside Obama. There's no way to determine what's inside Obama. But as I said, for years we've been led to believe chicken fat is evil. It's the enemy. It's going to give you a heart attack. It's poison. And now as I researched it, I found chicken fat is actually rich in palmitoleic acid, which is an immune enhancer, and also rich in something that lowers cholesterol called oleic acid. So your mother was right. Chicken soup is actually good for you, and chicken fat's not going to hurt you. Now you're not going to believe this story. It came out a minute ago. NASA. NASA and the Air Force are looking to chicken fat as an alternative jet fuel. NASA is checking out biofuel made from chicken and beef fat. They burned it in a certain engine. They said in the engine that burned the biofuel, black carbon emissions were 90% less at idle and almost 60% less at takeoff thrust. So if you're not going to eat your chicken fat, it may be used to fuel the next jet you're on. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mm. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Savage Nation. There's some good news out there. Oil's dropped dramatically right after the alleged assassination of Osama bin Laden. I don't know how he had anything to do with the gas pump, but the speculators decided to dump their futures. And as predicted, Ahmadinejad is in the midst of a power struggle in Iran. It looks to me like they're going to throw him to the wolves, which would be great for the world. Oh, is this a good story? Several people close to Ahmadinejad have been arrested in recent days and charged with being magicians and invoking spirits. Isn't that amazing? They're actually going after his cohorts, so he's going to be next. He could get impeached and exiled from Iran if this keeps up. You see, the apparently the religious people behind the government in Iran, although they're fanatics, they're probably more realists than Ahmadinejad, who they think is a madman. Conservative clerics have said that the Mahdi's return cannot be predicted, have accused a deviant current within Ahmadinejad's inner circle. And so they're really going after him. Since Ahmadinejad's return this week, at least 25 people have been arrested, among them the head of the government's cultural committee and some journalists close to Ahmadinejad. This is very intriguing, what's going on over there in Iran. So the power struggle we've been witnessing may result in the exile, or even better yet, something more severe, of this madman who threatened to blow up Israel and kill all the Jews and then blow up the great Satan of America. Apparently the religious fanatics are less fanatic than he is. Isn't that interesting? Pete in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation on WOR.
Dr. Savage, I have a direct quote from Federico Fellini that I know you'll love. He once said, "In my dreams, I am free." And that's
Amen.
The kind of night you had last night.
You know, it's true. It's where the dreams, the dream state approaches the life state is the perfect state.
Absolutely. And there's no place else in the world we can experience that but right here.
Absolutely. Yeah, this earth, the only heaven. I agree with you.
We can turn off our leader's voice whenever we want to and escape into the land you went to last night, and everything is bliss.
Do you mind that I talked about it? Did you find it kind of boring that I was just telling you about a wonderful night I had?
Not at all, and that's why I find it so wonderful listening to your show, because it's unpredictable. I could listen to the guy that sounds like Groucho Marx, but I choose to listen to you, because
to each his own. Look, the fact of the matter is, I have my own way of looking at the world, and I can only take so much of Obama and so much of politics, and then eventually I will revert to my poetic nature, and my poetic nature is meandering. It's a meandering soul that we all have anyway, and the soul is unpredictable. So it's when I let my soul roam freely, as I have most of my life, although I'm highly disciplined, I do have a soul that's quite restless. I've learned a lot along the way, and I've delved into an awful lot of things, and sometimes I have the ability to cook it up into a good verbal stew.
Well, it brings such flavor to your broadcast. You're a man with a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I really appreciate the work you do.
Thank you. That's very nice. You see, an educated man knows. The others, they don't know what you're doing. You say educated, what, they have to have a higher degree? No. Just life's education teaches you that things are not as black and white as you may think. And so, therefore, the stories that Obama's telling about the capture and the this and that, is so conflicted and so conflicting that at a certain point you got to turn it off, is what I'm trying to do today. We'll see what happens tomorrow. We don't know, you know. We don't know, you know. We don't know. Was he dead before? Was Osama even there? Or did he die 5 years ago of a kidney disease? And they decided to make a big trophy hunt out of it when there was no trophy. Let's start with one theory. There was no Osama. He's been dead for years. But Obama figured he would. Let's go to the other side now.
Savage.
You see the pictures?
Yes.
What was your reaction when you saw them?
It was him.
Why haven't you released them?
You know, we discussed this internally. Keep in mind that we are absolutely certain this was him. We've done DNA sampling.
All right, yeah, but testing. You can't see the pictures because you're not a big person like we are. Only the adults inside the administration can see the pictures, but you can't because it'll upset you. And the American people are too childlike to see the actual picture, and we especially don't want to agitate those who cut off Daniel Pearl's head while chanting Allah Akbar. Okay, so, you know, and we don't want to punt the football anymore. Instead, I'll go to New York and grandstand today and punt the football some more, and then I'll go on 60 Minutes and punt the football some more, but I won't show the picture anymore. New York, WOR, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, I just want to say, I know it looks like grandstanding, but being a fireman, I got to say, it's healing that he's here. It's very important that he's here. It just had to be here. I don't agree. I think he should release the pictures, too. But being a fireman, it's important that he's here. I'm just telling you, for the cops and the firemen, it's healing.
All right. So, hey, different strokes for different folks. Why do you think President Bush declined the invitation to appear, and so did ex-President Clinton?
Well, you know, I don't know what that has to do with Obama, the president.
Well, Obama invited them to share the stage with him, and they said no. Why? Why do you think they said no? They felt it was a tawdry thing to do, which is to grandstand at ground zero as though he's the hero of it.
But it's a closure, you know, it's a closure.
Well, I suppose you could put little furry dolls down there, too, and balloons and have closure. It would have about the same effect as Obama being there.
Well, I mean, maybe furry balloons and furry animals might be as good with an economic policy as Obama's.
All right, look, hey, if you feel good about it, I'm not going to say you shouldn't feel good about it. I just think that everything that this guy says just seems to be conflicting. I don't like conflict coming out of a president. I like leadership, which is a little more consistent than that. Well, tonight, there's a debate tonight in South Carolina of the guaranteed losers for the Republican side. And Fox News is hosting the first 2012 presidential debate with some real winners. You got Tim, what's his name? Polenta. Tim Polenta. Then you got Rick Sanitarium, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Sanitarium. He's about as much chance as my dog Teddy does of winning. Businessman Herman Cain, Texas Rep Ron Paul, there it goes, that's the trigger. Former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. So this is amazing, the circus that's going to go on now, my God. They couldn't delay this, right? Right after the capture of Osama, the alleged killing of Osama bin Laden, they have to run a debate now with people nobody ever heard of. The only one in that pack that might have any mileage is Ron Paul, because a lot of people love him. The most he could get in an actual head-to-head match with Obama would be around 8, 9, 10% of the vote. I am telling you right now, and I can't prove it any more than Obama is willing to prove he actually killed Osama bin Laden. If I ever declared that I was going to run for the presidency and leave radio, I could get 15 to 20% of the popular vote. I couldn't win. I would guarantee the election go to Obama, but I can guarantee you I can get more votes than any of these people, or perhaps all of them put together. Chicago, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I found a grocery store by me that has chicken feet, and I want to know if you can tell me how to make chicken soup using chicken feet.
Now, hold on. This is very important, because I once did a whole show on how the chicken feet are taken out of the chicken now, and they're sold to soup companies, and the Chinese never buy a chicken from a live market without getting the feet. They know the feet contain essential fatty acids that you can't get from any other part of the chicken. Now, you're talking about the feet now with the actual toes, correct?
Exactly. They have the claws and everything.
The claws. Because I was a kid, I used to eat the feet. I love the feet.
Right.
Well, you boil them. I mean, how hard is it? You put it into a chicken soup.
Okay. All right. I mean,
Do you know how to make a chicken soup? It's the easiest thing in the world. It's like the old joke, can you make duck soup? It's as simple as that. You can never miss with a chicken soup. It's very easy. There's 100 recipes on the internet. I won't bother anybody with it. But if you can, who sells, by the way? Who's selling a chicken with the feet in Chicago?
Well, it's a local grocery store that I live outside of Chicago, but it's a local grocery store, and they sell everything. They have all kinds of parts of everything.
But is it an ethnic butcher shop, or is it what?
Yeah, you could say that. Yes, it is.
But what ethnicity do they cater to?
It's a Spanish.
Well, you see, again, here we go again. Ethnic food is very wise food in many ways. And it's the same with the Chinese. They would never consider buying a chicken unless they got all the parts. You go in a supermarket, I don't have to tell you, they take out, you know, the gizzard. They take out the parts that you like to use to make things out of, like the soup and the legs. Yep. It's as simple as that. Just boil it to get in water with all the other parts after washing the chicken thoroughly and salting it and washing it again. And use carrot tops and celery and carrots. You can make a chicken soup quite easily. Again, go to the internet, do Google and say chicken soup, 10 recipes. But you put those feet in. I'm getting hungry myself. I don't want chicken feet, please. I never eat listener food, especially would never eat chicken feet from listeners because I know it's coming in the mail. Dear Mike, Bob and I wanted you to have these special chicken feet that we purchased just for you, Mike, from a listener in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So you want to talk, I'm not going to talk about this debate. I won't even carry the coverage tomorrow. Tim Pawlenta, I cannot understand how this man has an ego to think he could ever win. Rick's Sanitarium was finished years ago. The only person in America who has any faith in him is Sean Hannity. I have no idea why this man is running. Herman Cain, the black businessman, he's a terrific guy. And I believe he could make a little bit of a stir as he has, but he can't win. He was the president of Godfather's Pizza Chain before he bought it. I like that. I like an entrepreneur. He never held a political office, but he says that works to his advantage. I'm all for it. He says, I happen to believe there are more conservative black Americans in this country than any poll will ever show. He's 1,000% right. He is 1,000% right. Conservative African Americans are hidden by the media. The same way conservative Jews are buried, conservative Chinese are never talked to, conservative Hispanics are never shown. There's only one storyline from the left-wing media, which is that all ethnic minorities love Democrats, and only white crackers who are secret Nazis are Republicans. That's the storyline coming out of the Associated Press and ABC News. So let's go to the callers. Florida, Rob, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Doctor, what gives Obama the authority to withhold these pictures? I mean, don't other branches of the government have a say in it? And as a FOIA request...
Oh, well, he'll hide behind national security. As the commander-in-chief, I've adjudged this to be an issue of the highest importance for our national security, and they hereby classified information. Only I and Dianne Feinstein will actually have seen these.
So no FOIA request possible on this?
No, impossible. Impossible. You'll never see them. They probably don't exist. Didn't they yesterday come out and say the videotape that we were told was taken suddenly disappeared? It was never taken. Remember that?
Yep.
You know, what does that tell everybody but the idiots, the slavish worshippers of Obama, no matter what he says they believe? What are you going to do with people? If they don't have any critical judgment, how are you going to ever convince them the guy's making it up?
Is it a dictatorship at this point?
Well, I wouldn't go to it's a dictatorship. They're not exactly rounding people up off the streets and putting them into the internment camps. But you have the most secretive government and the most lying government in American history. Let's put it to you that way. The next steps will be a lot worse unless the man is called on a carpet for it. I only wish there was a Republican Party with the brains and the guts to demand a little bit more out of him instead of letting him get away with this shiftiness. Play the show business song for me because I almost got angry and I don't want to. I absolutely don't. I'd rather talk about sand dabs than talk about Obama.
There's no business like show business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could
it is the Savage Nation. That was a great song. Remember Milton Berle years ago when I was a kid used to play the Texaco Men. And they would sing that. But that's so long ago, nobody even knows who he is. Can you imagine I'm at this dinner last night and most of the people never heard of Fellini? They didn't know who he was. He's like, if I mention Henry Miller, they don't know who he is. A lot of my references are gone from history. A lot of my cultural references are not in common parlance anymore. In other words, people I grew up reading and movies, I just sat like, you know, worship like how great this movie was. No one even knows who they are anymore. It's astounding to me how fast cultural icons disappear from the landscape. You know, it'll be like when got to be talked about. But he'll be forgotten. I'll give you another example. Allen Ginsberg, the filthy dean communist. When he was around, he was such a con man. He had everyone convinced he was a great poet. He was covered everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, Life magazine, Look magazine, Luft magazine. Lufsy and Cup magazine, wherever you went, there was an Allen Ginsberg. The minute he died, no one remembers who he is anymore because he was a nothing. He was a self-promoter. And that's true with a lot of the cultural icons. They're self-promoters, period. Probably true in talk radio as well, by the way. I mean, I can be very brutal on myself. Ask anybody who doesn't know me. New York, WOR, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for keeping away from the politics. You're more interesting talking about how you bike with Teddy facing forward or backward than the other guy talking about politics.
Well, do you like me talking about the dinner last night, the prosciutto, the sand dabs, the broccolini?
Sadly to say, I had to step out of my car and I couldn't hear you.
Oh, that was a winning segment. The opening to the first hour was so beautiful. I'm not going to try to do it again, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Beowulf, we're going to grab it and run it tomorrow. Okay, we'll tighten it up and run it as a segment tomorrow. And we'll do some Fellini music around it. That was like one of the most beautiful dream segments I've done in a long time. And I took a big risk doing it because, you know, you don't know what people want to listen to. But the imagination must be given free flight every once in a while or you wind up bottled up. You know, now we're back already to the politics. I knew this would happen. Arizona, John, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a real privilege. I spent two tours over in Afghanistan, 2.5 years altogether as an interrogator. And I just wanted to share two very short stories with you.
I'd love them.
The first story is a common saying in Afghanistan for Afghans is, if I'm lying, you can cut my head off. And I had a fellow interrogator paraphrase back to the detainee exactly what he said. He said, basically, so you're saying that if you're lying, we can cut your head off. Well, there was a full-bird colonel there visiting, and he pulled the interrogator out of the booth, and he had to get retrained. And the detainee's just laughing at us. I mean, it was hysterical for him. I mean, that's how ineffective.
Wait, they were laughing at you because they knew there was no punishment for them lying.
Exactly. I mean, when the interrogator gets chastised and in trouble for paraphrasing, you know, if I'm lying, you can cut my head off. You know, we had
We have a debased intelligence community. Of course, there was a victory here. Okay, let's start from the top. Do you actually believe Osama bin Laden was there and alive?
I think he was, yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Then why were the stories so conflicted for the last 3 or 4 days?
Well, you know, I've been in the intelligence business for most of my life, career-wise, and there's always the official version, and then there's like the unofficial version. And, you know, comparing what I see in the news media compared to the classified documents that we'd come across, I'm not a, you know, high CIA operative by any means. I'm just a, you know, military intelligence soldier. It was vastly different stories. You know, there's always two versions to everything. And
created an awful lot of doubt in the minds of most people in the world to come out and keep changing the storyline like this for 3 days?
I think so. And, you know,
there was a firefight. There was no firefight. Bin Laden was resisting. He wasn't resisting. He used his wife as a shield. He didn't use his wife as a shield.
And they've known this stuff. I mean, they've had the operation planned for, what they say, like 8 months. I mean, surely they knew that there was...
Right. So that's going to raise the biggest question. The 400-pound gorilla in the room is, why Sunday night? No one's answering that question adequately. They could have done it a month ago. They could have done it a month from now. Why Sunday night? I have my own pet theory, and I said it on Monday morning. And so far, no one's picked up on it. Obama is so incredibly egomaniacal. He was so insulted by the royal family not inviting him to the wedding. He was so pissed off that they usurped him in the media with this royal wedding business that he decided to knock them out of the newspapers altogether with this raid. Now, that's one possibility. I didn't say it was the only. But it certainly shouldn't be dismissed when you have a man as narcissistic as Obama. That's my opinion. You say that there are two stories to everything. There are also personalities involved and huge egos involved. And sometimes the ego makes the decision, not the brain. Thanks for the call. It's the Savage Nation. If you care to talk about this again, we can do it. Oh, the pig's feet. Kate in Albany, welcome. No, I wanted to, I was saying that there's a, down in San Francisco, there's also a, the old ferry terminal has been turned into like a Pike Street market. It's unbelievably beautiful. They got coffee shops and bars and restaurants and bakeries. I go there for an onion bread. Every kind of store imaginable. One of the stores is very odd. It's Salted Pig Parts. And one of the reasons I like to go by the salted pig parts store is that there's a certain segment of the population that is never seen there. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, let's give you a cultural story. Viagra is huge in Mexico. What's up with that? Mexico is the largest market for erectile dysfunction in the developing world, with about $200 million in sales every year. That's why Pfizer has chosen the country for the introduction of Viagra Jet, a tablet that can be taken without water and will dissolve quickly, making it more convenient to use in the heat of the moment. Pfizer hopes that this innovation will help it keep its foothold in Mexico's lucrative erectile dysfunction drug market a year before their patent on the drug runs out and generics enter the picture. People are not sure why. 2 years after Viagra hit the market in Mexico in 1998 and Pfizer launched, blah, 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 the number of visits to doctors in Mexico where patients mainly complained about erectile dysfunction increased 279%. Erectile dysfunction drugs, as you may know, are a cash cow raking in $5 billion worldwide. 40% of the drugs are sold in the U.S., 13% in Latin America, 3% in Mexico. Viagra is Pfizer's sixth highest selling drug in the U.S. But the demand in Mexico is quite astonishing, and people don't know why. The popularity is astonishing, and they don't exactly know why. However, some are guessing. Machismo culture is changing, said Rubio Aureoles. So apparently that's why it's selling so well in a country that prides itself on machismo. If you can't actually be macho, you can take a drug that makes you so, I guess, right? In America, erectile dysfunction affects 16% of males, surveyed in a worldwide report known as the Multinational Men's Attitude to Life Events and Sexuality Study. That's rubbish. What male is going to tell you the truth about erectile dysfunction? They see those kind of studies. As a trained epidemiologist, that's nonsense. They have no bearing whatsoever. It's like a report that tells you Obama's believed by most Americans. It's like believing the Multinational Men's Attitude to Life Events study is the same as believing Obama's version of what went on in Yugoslavia. So does anyone have an idea why erectile drug would be such a big popular drug in Mexico? It's the machismo, isn't it? I don't think it's a big question. It's a country that prides itself on the macho male. So if you can't really be a macho male, what you do is you take a medicine that makes you into a macho male, and then you can, you know, right? I mean, it's that simple. So that's where they're selling it. I guess eventually here people will just stop using this stuff. It's a terrible drug. The side effects are horrible. Horrible, the blue vision. Right? It gives you like a blue vision, Viagra. Temporal blindness in some cases. But then I jokingly said in 1998 when it came out, people said, do you know that Viagra causes temporary blindness in some cases? And I said, that's part of its desired side effects, so you don't have to look at your partner. Symbol shot. It's part of its appeal. I mean, you're temporarily blinded to your partner, so come on. I mean, who's using it? Older guy. No, I hear a lot of younger guys are using these drugs, too. You know I'm in trouble already when I'm talking about prosciutto, sand dabs, and Viagra. I don't want to talk about Obama and Osama anymore. So let's go back to the Fellini music on the Savage Nation. And just remember this. Flap less, coast more. That's Michael's advice to all of you. Flap less and you'll coast more. And you'll get more out of life. That's a tip from Michael Savage.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
questions for the Savage Nation today have included the Ground Zero showboating by Obama. He went to Ground Zero to lay a wreath and speak to victims' families. Do you think this really honored or dishonored those who died on 9/11? When I say dishonored, I mean grandstanding. Are you actually offended by the way Obama is exploiting the memory of those who died in the attacks? Today, the Obama administration revealed that there had been no firefight during the mission to kill bin Laden, as they had first made up. Does the administration's version of the bin Laden killing have any credibility for you at this point in any way? And what's the most bizarre inconsistency in the administration story that you've heard thus far? Fox News is hosting a GOP presidential debate at which only minor and unknown candidates are appearing. Do you think the Republicans are already thrown in a towel for 2012? Now let's look at the raid. There was a site called Bookworm Room that said, here's a summary of all the misinformation, and it was done to make Obama look good. One, there was a firefight to get Osama bin Laden. Two, there was no firefight. Three, bin Laden was resisting. Four, bin Laden wasn't armed. Five, he used his wife as a shield. Six, his wife was killed too. Seven, he didn't use his wife as a shield. She ran at a SEAL who shot her in the leg, but she's doing fine. Eight, some other woman, the maid, was used as a shield. But we don't know by who, by somebody downstairs. Nine, that other woman downstairs, well, she was killed. Ten, maybe not. She was killed unless she wasn't. And who was she anyway? 11, bin Laden's son was killed. 12, unless it was some other guy. 13, bin Laden's daughter saw him get killed. 14, they were going to capture bin Laden until the problem with the helicopter, which was A, it had mechanical trouble, B, it had a hard landing, C, it crashed, D, it clipped the wall with a tail rotor, effectively crashing it. 15, they were never going to capture him. It was always a kill mission. 16, no, it wasn't. 17, the chopper blew up. 18, the SEALs blew it up. 19, Panetta yesterday said the world needed proof and the photo would be released. 20, Obama said in an interview he taped with 60 Minutes to be broadcast Sunday, it won't be released. It would offend Muslim sensibilities. 21, well, shall I go on? There's an unlimited here. 23, we got a treasure trove of stuff from hard drives. 24, there were no phone lines and no internet access at the so-called mansion. They didn't even have TV. What treasure trove? 25, there is obviously in the pictures of the compound a large satellite dish. I guess they used it for making salads. 26, and now just today, apparently, the idea was to capture him, but only if he was naked. There was a suspicion he might be wearing a suicide-type explosive vest. So if he's naked, you can't see if he has a vest on or not. Shoot him. The military did great. The administration has managed to turn it into a mash of spaghetti. Everyone is saying by the latest poll, kudos on getting bin Laden, but I still need a job. It's the economy, stupid. And that's really what's going on. And the fact is, there's few facts and lots of hype out there. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. We go there now to see what made it to the front page. Top left, New York Times, no firefight in bin Laden raid. Top right, London Telegraph, 10 ways Obama botched the aftermath of a masterful operation. Top secret, stealth helicopter program revealed from ABC News. North Korean prison camps are massive and keep growing. It's not bin Laden. The photo acquired of a death shows an ice cream man with a water pistol. Reuters and AP photojournalists describe staging of Obama photo to make him look presidential. Yep, even they're getting the message. CIA chief waterboarding aided bin Laden raid. Obama, I won't release bin Laden death photos. Carter says Hamas and Fatah accord will help bring peace. Pieces of Jews. Osama's daughter confirms Osama was captured alive. What? And shot him dead in front of family members. That's terrible. Apology demanded for comments on Chief Justice's looks. What Chief Justice? I don't know. California, I guess. There's such a thing. Obama, you can't pee on our backs and call it rain, by Michael Savage. Trickle Up Poverty, one of the most illuminating books ever written. and other reviews of my book, all on the site. Passenger testifies against rabbi accused of groping her, from the New York Post. Congress to examine devastating use of Geronimo, code name. Can you imagine they're holding a hearing? The Senate Indian Affairs Committee will hold a hearing on racist Native American stereotypes that will now also address the Bin Laden mission and the code name Geronimo. Hero dog helps snare Osama. They actually had an explosive sniffing dog that parachuted out of the plane, strapped to an assault team member. You got to read this story from the London Sun. All on michaelsavage.com. As far as the latest news goes, of course, throughout the hour, we're going to come up with the latest stuff. One of the 9/11 victims' fathers said Obama putting too much spotlight on himself. He used another 9/11 family member screamed out, "Show us proof Bin Laden was killed." There'll be a victory tour, Obama to meet with SEALs. First GOP primary debate tonight. We don't even know who's there. Good news, the speculators jumped out. Oil plunges below $100. Ahmadinejad allies charged with sorcery. Interesting. Fox News ends contracts with Gingrich and Santorum. I guess they're going to run for something. Dog catcher somewhere. Secretary Sebelius says under the GOP plan, seniors will die sooner. Oh, goodness. Well, it gets crazy. Carney, the spokesmouth, is cracking under the pressure. Lib radio host says, when will Navy SEALs drop in and kill George Bush? Still has his job. Not banned in England. Obama has an outside contract worth $100,000 for teleprompter coach. Oh, God. What else is in the news? Let's see. Liz Taylor and Michael Jackson and Marlon Brando fled 9/11 to Ohio in a car. Oh, God. Billionaire Zuckerberg buys his first house for $7 million. What else? Royal newlyweds plan California visit. Food prices rise to near record level as inflation accelerates. Wow, it's getting crazy out there, isn't it? Well, if you look at the Obama administration, we can call it a torpedo of lies. That's their new roadshow, a torpedo of lies, as I said earlier. A 9/11 family invited to presidential ground zero visit snubbed Obama. They snubbed him. As 50 carefully selected families prepare to join Obama for a ceremony at the World Trade Center, you don't know this, one of the families has decided to pass on the Commander-in-Chief's visit. The Vigiano family of Deer Park, Long Island, declined. They said they didn't want to go. They got the invitation. What rubbed the Vigianos the wrong way was not what the email said, but how it was addressed. It said, "Dear 9/11 family members, no names." They thought it was disrespectful. They lost both sons on September 11th. John Vigiano Jr. was 36 and an FDNY firefighter, while their youngest Joe Vigiano was an emergency service detective with the NYPD. Ah, it's horrible. Terrible. And he said, meanwhile, Jeannie Evans of Elmont, who lost her brother Robert Evans on 9/11, also was not there today. She said, why not show us proof that Bin Laden was killed? I would like to see that, wondered Evans. So there it is. Not everybody's buying a lie. As old Abe Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool the Savage Nation any of the time. All this and more today, right here on the Savage Nation. We're talking about should circumcision be banned. Of course, it's a personal choice. But the psychotics in San Francisco who say it's a woman's choice to mutilate a baby in the name of abortion and freedom are now saying it's illegal to circumcise a baby. This shows you the demented nature of liberals. It's okay to kill a child, kill a fetus, kill a child, doesn't matter to them, but you can't circumcise a newborn. It just shows you the demented nature of the city I live in. But you see, it's not their city. To me, they're like disease viruses who invaded a beautiful city. This is the most beautiful city on earth to me. I love it dearly. And I'm not going to let a few disease germs, no matter how many there are, take over. It's like a plague took over the city, a plague of liberalism. And like all plagues, it'll burn itself out eventually, and this city will one day again be a mainstream American city, eventually when the plague burns itself out. All plagues end. This plague of insane leftist liberalism will burn itself out. Once it's over, it'll be over. They'll be gone. Most of them have no children anyway. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We'll be right back.
Let's go to the people of the Savage Nation and take your calls. Pittsburgh, Ben, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael.
Yes, Ben.
I have the... Michael, you there?
Yes.
I have the difference between you, the golfer, wall banger, and the chalkboard guy. And I told your screener. The difference is they're counterpunchers. For instance, tonight you come out like Rocky Marciano. You said impeachment. These guys get close, but they never say it. It's almost embarrassing. I'm your age. I grew up in Jersey. You're like a Bob Grant. Tonight you're on your mark. You're cutting edge tonight. Don't go back to, you know, what they you tell people, you know, you give them advice and all that. Forget about that.
So you don't like when I do the advice hour on the Savage Nation, the Dr. Savage thing?
The thing, and I got the thing, and you say, you know, don't bring the thing. Forget about it.
Yeah, but that's good sometimes when there's no heavy news and I need a relaxation. The people enjoy that when I play Dr. Mike.
Very good. You called to Scott Brown. I remember the day after the election. Oh, my God.
You remember what I said what Scott Brown was? Did I see right through him?
Oh, you were great. They were saying, oh, my God, he's the next president. Forget about
it. You remember that? I swear to God, he was the great hope already for tomorrow. I said, wait a minute. So, Ben, I want to ask you something. How come I see everything as it is?
Because I think it's a different generation. You're from New York. I'm from Jersey. You tell it like it is. They're all like check pants. Forget about it.
I think it's my age, number one. Number two, I was raised by a realpolitik immigrant father from Russia who didn't let me get away with one word that was false. If he taught me anything, it was to tell the truth. He used to yell at me if I tried to fib out of a homework assignment or I shirked a chore. He would look at me and he wouldn't let me look away, made me look at him right in the eye. And he says, you answer my question. You answer my question. Yes or no, did you do that? And, you know, kids don't want to answer things that they didn't do right. He forced me to answer him. Do you know that, Ben?
No, I know. And my father was the same way. He never, I mean, they were Italian. All came from Jersey and Italian. I grew up in where HBO, the series Sopranos was shot. That's my old neighborhood.
But yeah, what is that neighborhood, by the way? I don't know. Where is that in New Jersey?
North Newark.
North like right Newark.
North Newark.
Is the pizza any good there anymore or not?
The what?
Is the pizza still good in the area?
Very good over there. They got the hot dog stands and beautiful. But I've been in Pittsburgh. I go back. My family's on the Jersey Shore. Two other things that are a little left.
You know, wait. Before we go back to politics, you know I like to shoot the breeze. I lived in Pittsburgh once for 6 months on and off. I was almost going to move there. I almost bought a house on Chestnut Hill or Squirrel Hill. I had a job there, a big job, and I then decided I couldn't take the I didn't move there. But I loved Pittsburgh. There was some very good Italian restaurants downtown. Am I wrong?
You know, they were good. Tambellini's, there were a lot of good restaurants.
Why are they good in Pittsburgh and so bad in San Francisco with the exception of two restaurants? Why is it they can't make an Italian meal west of the Rocky Mountains?
Oh, you're too much with the Chinese and everything. But in Pittsburgh, the neighborhoods have stayed the same. There's one neighborhood called Bloomfield where I grew up in Jersey. It was called Bloomfield. It's all Italian.
I have one important food question since we've drifted away from serious news. The other night after the show, it was raining. It was miserable. I decided to make my own spaghetti sauce. I got to ask you, isn't the mark of a good sauce a very thick sauce? It's not supposed to be watery gravy-like. It's supposed to be thick.
I make my own sauce.
Is the object a thick sauce or not?
Yes, I don't use paste.
No. Paste is a faker. No, I use canned crushed tomatoes. I made a sauce Friday, but the thing was I cooked it for over an hour, so a lot of the water went out of it. It was so thick, and the meat sauce was so tasty because of the spices I used. The next day, I put a drop on a piece of toast. It was amazingly good. I finally hit the mark on sauce as I approached my seventh decade. I finally figured out how to make a good tomato sauce.
Mother used to do that thing with the tomatoes. You put them in, you turn that thing and stuff.
Yeah, see, now I got you. I did this on purpose. You said I shouldn't do just what I just did, and you enjoyed it.
No, I use crushed tomatoes.
No, you told me to stick to the politics, and here I got you talking about tomato sauce, and you're not feeling bad about it.
You're on your mark tonight. I like when you get really crazy, like Bob Grant. He tells the people, get off the phone, you bum, go get a job. I love it. Because, and then you like a little levity. I got to tell you this. We know that Obama's a sock puppet. He's a sock puppet.
I know. But the question is whose? Who put him in power?
Soros, George Soros.
Well, I looked into that over the weekend because I've been saying that. Do you know that Soros came late to the dance? He was not the first. I'll tell you who was the first because you're not going to believe it. Do you know who held the first major fundraisers for Obama?
What?
the vermin of Hollywood. Did you know that?
Well, does that surprise you?
It was Katzenberg and that group. They held the first fundraisers for him in Beverly Hills in order to promote a certain agenda of theirs. It was the Hollywood core billionaires who put him in power. They were the ones who put him in power. They were the first in. And don't think they didn't get paid back.
You don't remember me, but I remember you.
So I'm in the car today. I get stuck behind a school bus in the afternoon. And the young man who drives me says, oh, yes, it's Wednesday. The kids go home early on Wednesday in California. I said, what? He said, oh, yes. He said, as far as I can remember, they've always given them off early on Wednesday. I said, early for what? They come out and they can't eat. They can't add. They can't read. They can't write. They don't know how to hold down a job, but they give them off a half a day. Thanks for the California Federation of Teachers. You hear? The unions. Your friends, the unions. They need a half a day off so they can have a teacher training lesson on how to screw the taxpayer.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone.
I'll be right back.
And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Okay, we're going to talk about energy with Daniel Kish, who's Senior Vice President at the Policy Institute for Energy Research. He's written an awful lot on the disastrous consequences of Obama's failed energy plans. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Now, we hear a lot about hedge fund managers and speculators as the cause of the recent rise in gas prices. Is that true?
Well, not really. That's what the president and people who are responsible for the price increases, frankly, are trying to convince the American public of. But in reality, if they hadn't put us in such jeopardy by their anti-energy policies and their 24/7 printing of money that's devaluing our currency and making not just oil, but food and clothing and everything else go through the roof, we wouldn't have this problem. So what they're trying to do is point the finger at somebody else for things that they've created, and it's been part of their policy since the president was running for office and said he wanted to make energy prices skyrocket. Has a Secretary of Energy who said back in 2008 we should be paying the price that Europe pays for gasoline, which at the time was $8 to $10 a gallon. And as a Secretary of Interior who's made it his life's work to stop energy production on the government's lands, onshore and offshore, and his when he was in the Senate, said that stopped a measure that would open up the outer continental shelf for drilling right here at home, even if the price of gasoline got to be $10 a gallon. So that's what we're up against. They're trying to buffalo the public and figure out some way to get some more money and power into the hands of Washington, which is always the issue.
Obama's energy policy comes down to make bad energy expensive. Is that it?
Yes. Yeah, it's the Tonya Harding approach to energy. He likes the people who make the new forms of more expensive energy, whether it's Jeff Immelt over at GE, who wants the government to insist we buy really expensive windmill electricity, or the solar panel geniuses and venture capitalists in Silicon Valley who want to make a quick buck before the market crashes on that. And so he wants to break the kneecaps of the affordable energy that made this country the number one country in the world and drive us to use more expensive energy, which will simply drive our jobs and our standard of living to other shores. And we see it. You know, you see him clamping down, for example, on coal in the United States when China consumes four times as much coal as the United States, and its growth rate is about 10 times what our growth rate is.
Is oil's recent surge due to Obama's nutty monetary policy or the unrest in the Middle East?
Both. Monetary policy is a huge part of it. The more money we print, the less our dollar is worth. So we see food, clothing, oil, gas, everything go up in price. On the other hand, the Middle East, what happens in the uncertainty in the Middle East is it points out the fact that we're dependent on other places for our oil when the Congressional Research Service says the United States has the largest energy supplies of any country in the world. Most of them are owned by the government, and they won't let us produce them.
Well, who's keeping us from drilling in Alaska?
Environmentalists, and they are a very important part of the president's re-election campaign. They do the footwork. They run commercials trying to make everyone believe we're all going to die, when in reality we're living longer than we ever have, largely because of our use of energy and all that it enables us to do. And, you know, it's a belief that the United States is living beyond its means. We've heard them say it, right? We can't drive the kind of cars we want. We can't keep our thermostats set at a certain temperature. We can't, we need to use their government-approved light bulbs. This isn't about energy, Michael. This is about power and money. And money for the people who are friends of the administration so they can give more money to the administration, and power for government, which, of course, always comes at the expense of the liberties of the American public. We don't get to choose anymore. The government's going to tell us what we can buy, how much of what we can buy, and they will make it very expensive if we break the rules and buy what they don't want.
Can the economy ever recover with oil over $100 a barrel?
I think that the people in Washington right now, and many of the pundits who talk about this, don't know what they're talking about, because Americans are already hurting with prices. What you'll hear out of the smart, you know, New York, Washington, West Coast urban areas is that, the economy can sustain prices as long as they don't get to X amount. People are already hurting. We've already got an economy that effectively has almost 20% unemployment because of all the people who haven't sought work. We've got reduced investment in job creation here at home, and instead that's going abroad. They're threatening new taxes on top of everything else, and it really hurts real Americans out there who have to buy this to get to work, and they don't have an option. They're not going to have a light speed rail or a subway or any of that stuff, because we're never going to build that. And as a matter of fact, most of the places that are built around the world are now backing away from it, because all the things that President Obama wants to do in his administration, and all the people who push this green agenda in the United States have the countries that they use as examples that we ought to follow, Spain and even China. They just locked up the head of the high-speed rail in, sent him to jail in China for spending way too much on it, losing money, and paying off his buddies. I mean, the same thing happens everywhere in the world. This stuff doesn't make sense. Let Americans make their own choice.
Look, we all want cleaner energy, but is clean energy just a feel-good pipe dream for the left?
Well, it's substituting physics for idealism, the idea that somehow it's better. It's not. I mean, all of this clean energy that they talk about, instead of relying on imports, much of which come from Canada, by the way, they're a number one supplier, of oil that are around 50% and rising, the administration is saying, let's go to these green technologies which rely on minerals that China controls 95% of. So they're substituting reliance on oil for these new sources of energy, which are more expensive and cost more and drive up the cost of manufacturing and anything we do in this country, while our competitors around the world are building dams and coal plants and all the stuff that we can't build in this United States, because there's an anti-growth, they call it smart growth, it's really anti-growth, a group of people who think they're smarter than the American public and that everybody ought to do as they say.
Daniel Kish, thanks for coming on the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks for having me, Michael. I really appreciate it. And if anybody's interested, they can go to instituteforenergyresearch.org.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
We should take a collective deep breath and celebrate the U.S. Navy SEALs and tip our hat to the Obama administration for a job well done. He did something that Bush didn't do, that Bush wanted to do, that he said he would do. And we have to give him credit for that. And I'm very happy, frankly, that the Hitler of our time is dead. This was a man who was the incarnation of pure evil. He killed Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, indiscriminately. He was a mass murderer, a psychopath who couched his madness in a religion. And we must give credit to the fighting men of the U.S. military, especially the Navy SEALs that went in there and took this bastard out. But we must also give Obama his due. Remember, it was Obama who ordered this mission and made it a priority. Bush never made it a priority. In fact, just 6 months after 9/11, Bush said he didn't spend much time thinking about him anymore. Any Republican who attacks Obama now is a fool. Now, I have called Obama a Marxist on this program, and I stand by those words. But maybe it took a Marxist to take out an Islamic terrorist. This is a huge victory for the United States of America, and the American street is celebrating. It does change the political landscape dramatically. Much of the Republican leadership assumed they could ride the wave of the Tea Party and continue fooling the people and cruise into the White House in 2012. Their disarray was apparent even before this, but now they've been trumped by Obama. Now, there still are questions that must be answered. Why did they insist on disposing of his body by Islamic custom? Is burial at sea really allowed by Islamic tradition? What is the goal of American troops in Afghanistan now? Should we stay there? The American street is celebrating. The American street is joyous. And let me tell you something else. All the sleeper cells in America right now are scared. Don't sit there and be afraid of the boogeyman. They understand that this administration is hunting them down, looking for them. They know where they're hiding, and they're probably going to kill them next. Let me tell you something else. If they got Osama bin Laden, they're going to get the terrorists who are hiding amongst us in this country. And they know it. For a long while, we weren't sure where Obama was coming from. Whether he was truly loyal to America, et cetera. Now, we can ask 100 questions. The timing, for example. Why all of a sudden on a Sunday evening? He had the chance to knock him out before. We learned that he could have done it last March. Why all of a sudden now? I mean, you can come up with all sorts of ideas and theories as to why. I can't second guess the military nor the political establishment as to why. You could argue, for example, that it was a double knockout. He knocked out Trump with the release of the long-form birth certificate, which, whether or not you accept it, is the end of the game for the doubters. No matter what you say, it's the end of the road for that road. It's just a dead end. Virginia Rita, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you made a brilliant statement yesterday. I'm an American Muslim, and I heard you say you wouldn't dignify bin Laden as to bury him as a Muslim. And that's a brilliant statement, because I wouldn't bury him as a Muslim either. He was the first to distort the Islamic religion around the world.
I think so, and I'm not a Muslim, but to me, why? You see, you said it better than me, but I'll repeat what I said, basically. Why dignify him by wrapping him in the very religion that he perverted?
Exactly.
And moreover, my analysis is that he was a psychopath and a mass murderer first. And the Muslim element was used to justify his psychopathology.
Exactly. I agree.
Right? And I really wish more Muslims who are in the middle of the road here would call the show, because they are the ones who actually had more to fear from these fanatics. Still do. How many years have I said the same thing? I'm the most misinterpreted man in radio. I've said on the show for over 10 years that the acquaintances I know, for example, from Morocco, Muslims, you wouldn't know they're a Muslim anymore. You know the next man's a Christian or a Jew in America, because most people don't wear their religion on their sleeve, okay? They practice their faith, they keep it to themselves, and it's in a moderate way. He said to me, as a Muslim, he said, we lost 30,000 people from the radical Muslims here in our country. I said, I know that. I know that your people were blown up and decimated by these radical fanatics who want to drag you back 1,000 years. See, I understand this, Reva, Rita. I understand all of this. It's lost in all of the excitement over this.
Yes, sir. And I wanted to say that apart from all the innocent lives that have been lost, we were the first ones also to get hurt by this.
Like, where? In which country, you mean in the countries that I'm mentioning, such as Morocco?
I am originally from Morocco. I'm an American, and I'm originally from Morocco. And, for example, every time I would go to Morocco, I used to get selected for, like, tour research at the airport. And that's all due to this ideology and this terrorism that happened here in the States.
I see. Yes, it was in North Africa, I think, that most of this horrendous, these attacks occurred in very early on. I wouldn't say the first. So, yeah, the middle of the road, shall I say, the leave me alone Muslim, who's not a fanatic, has the most to lose from these fanatics. So having said all of this, do you feel a lot better today that he's dead?
I feel much, much better. I didn't know how to express my joy when I heard the news. Seriously.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I tell you, I felt the relief come over me. Of course this is going to go on, but don't you think it also sends a very powerful signal to the other wannabes that they're going to be targeted for death?
Dr. Savage, it's not me alone who does this. I know many, many Muslims here that are friends of mine, and they were very, very, very happy to hear the news.
Well, I'm so glad you listened to me. Where do you listen on WTNT in Washington?
No, I'm in Norfolk, VA. It's 7:90 a.m. I don't even know.
Oh, well, as long as you know the call letters, let me send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Play Sea of Love by Phil Phillips and the Twilights. Many of you want to relax a little bit in the middle of the news, and I don't blame you because there's only so much bad news you could take. And unfortunately, under this leader that we have, if you want to call him a leader, he's not my leader. He's not my president. I didn't vote for him. No, Obama is not my president. How's that? Does that work for you? How's that for a bumper sticker? Obama is not my president. Play the music.
Do you remember when we met? That's the day I knew you were my pet. I want to tell you how much I love you.
How could this con man be getting away with this every day? How? Hope and change. The man is destroying America almost department by department. Listen again to the first clip and you'll hear him again using the only tool he knows how to use. A man who got where he is through affirmative action and billions of dollars behind him. Listen to clip one.
We can't ask everybody to sacrifice and then tell the wealthiest among us, well, you can just relax and go count your money and don't worry about it. We're not going to ask anything of you.
Why don't you tell that to Jeff Immelt? Why don't you tell it to your friends at Google, whose 767 is housed at the NASA Ames Center? Why don't you tell them they ought to be paying tax for parking their 767 at the Ames Center, that they get away with free parking? How is that possible? Answer, Nancy Pelosi. You see, everything is politics in the new Russian America. This is the USS of America, the United Soviet States of America, the USS of A. USS of A, the United Soviet States of America. Everything that the Soviet Union had tried to get rid of in order to become a free market, somewhat liberated nation, the United States is now adopting as fast as possible because of the fascisti in the United States government. The fascisti like the president and his entire Democrat Party.
The sea of love. I want to tell you how much I love you. Do you remember when we met? That's the day I knew you were my pet. I want to tell you how much I love you.
I love being with you. I love talking with you. I love talk radio. I love the business that I'm in. I love the fact that we're the last link between you and the abyss. If it wasn't for talk radio and the internet, we would be in the abyss of communism. Because as sure as I'm sitting here, Obama and his cronies want to drag us into a world that the Chinese and the Russians left behind. As sure as I'm sitting here, that's where they want to go. These are far-left dangerous ideologues, but I'm not going to waste my time telling you what you already know, because you've heard it enough times to know it's true. So let's focus on the media that put this imposter in the White House. Newsweek, Time, you name it. They told you, they sold you a bill of goods. He was a genius. He was a messiah. He was the man who was going to save America and bring us together. He drove us apart. So here we are.
I love you.
With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.